Okay, so we are moving forward as we move into Shabbos. We just made Kiddush. What comes after Kiddush? Hamaitzi. We got to deal with Hamaitzi. So now, of course, the Yekis have a minig, which I'm a Yeki. So the minig of the Yekis is actually we wash before Kiddush. And the reason we do that, there are different reasons that are brought, but probably the best reason that is cited is there was a time where it identifies that you can make Kiddush on Hamotzi. You can make Kiddush on the bread. And in an era when people didn't have money, wine was expensive, people didn't have money, so they made Kiddush on bread. And when you make Kiddush on bread, you're certainly going to go ahead and first wash, then make the Kiddush, and then make Hamotzi. So the minhag developed that even when you're making Kiddush on Yayin, to go ahead and do it that fashion, that is the Ashkenazi, the old Ashkenazi minhag. That's the minhag of the Yekis. And most of the world does not follow that minhag, so we're going to just then move on to most of the world. So we have a practice that that when we make Kiddush, while we're making Kiddush, so we have a minhag, a din, brought in Shulchan Aruch, quoted by the Torah, that we cover up the challah. So the Malchaber writes, this is found in Reish Ayin Aleph Halacha Tes, Sarich Shetiyah Mapa Al HaShulchan Tachas HaPas. Ooh, there's a mapa underneath the bread. You have something underneath the bread. Umapa Acheres Prusa Al Gabov. And you also have a mapa, some kind of covering, on top of the bread. So the Malchaber tells us, everyone knows you're supposed to cover the bread. Everyone knows that, but not just cover the bread, but also to have a mapa underneath the bread. So let's discuss a little bit, why is it that we cover the bread? Why do we cover the bread? So you're all going to tell me, are you Yerushalmi? You're going to tell me you're Yerushalmi. Everyone knows Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say, Andy?
The bread might be embarrassed.
Wow. Right, that's what Yerushalmi writes. Shelo tehe hapas boshto. We don't want the bread to be embarrassed. Now, does bread get embarrassed? I've never seen bread get embarrassed. I've never seen it in my life. Morty, have you seen it? Bread doesn't get embarrassed. So what exactly is Yerushalmi telling us? Yerushalmi is not telling us about bread getting embarrassed. Although there's a very famous story, well-known story, that the Chafetz Chaim was once visiting with someone, and he was there for Shabbos, but he was in shul, came home for Shabbos, and the table wasn't set. So the husband was very, very embarrassed. His wife didn't set the table. Chafetz Chaim just walked in, and he calls her into the kitchen room, and she let her have it. He was very, very upset. He was very angry at her. And at some point in the suit, the Chafetz Chaim pulled the husband to the side and says that we're so makpid on the bread not being embarrassed, and the bread doesn't get embarrassed. We cover up the challah based on Yerushalmi, so certainly you should be careful about your wife, Shalom Bayis, and let's not embarrass your wife. So that's a very famous story, but what does it mean that the bread's going to get embarrassed? The answer is, this has nothing to do with bread getting embarrassed. It has everything to do with Hilchos Brachos. Arega. Hilchos Brachos. Yerushalmi is talking Hilchos Brachos. We have a rule in Hilchos Brachos that there's a Seder HaBrachos. And if you have a lot of different foods on the table, there's an order. There's a kedima when it comes to Brachos. The order is, you'll remember with the following acronym, Hamaga Esh. Hamaga Esh, the first thing you bless on is Hamotzi. Then, Mezainas. Then, Gefen. Ayin is Eitz. Esh is Adama Sheh Hakol. So here, what are you doing? You're doing something very unusual. You're making Kiddush on wine, and then you're going to go ahead and eat the bread. So what's happening here is you're breaching, you're flouting, you're breaking the rule of Hilchos Brachos. You're not supposed to break rules of Hilchos Brachos. So what are we doing, Ki'ilu? Bread doesn't get embarrassed. But by us going ahead and making the bracha on wine before we make the bracha on bread, which is not consistent with Hilchos Brachos, so we're passing over the bread in order to make a bracha on the wine, so we kind of pretend. A little pretend. What do? We pretend that the bread is not here. The bread is not here, since the bread is not here, so we can make a bracha on the wine. When do we have to make a bracha on the bread first if the bread is here? But if the bread is covered, it's not really here. And therefore, it's a Hilchos Brachos idea. The practice of the Vilna Gaon is that they would leave, and my Rebbe has this practice, is that they make Kiddush with bread on the table. was not even on the table. The bread was in the kitchen. After Kiddush, they'd wash and then bring out the bread, so it's not even there. And then obviously, you wouldn't have to cover the bread, but that's why we covered the bread. That's the Yerushalmi. That's reason number one out of three. A second reason that is cited by the tour is the reason that we cover the bread is because of Zecher Laman. Is that when it comes to the man had what was on top of the man? It had dew on top of the man. There was a layer of tal. Where else was the layer of tal? Underneath the man. So there was tal on top, tal on the bottom. And because of the tal, so we go ahead and have a plate underneath and a plate on top, something on top, a covering on top. That's Zecher Laman. That's the second reason. There's a third reason that is cited by the tour. It's based on a Tosfos Maseches Pesachim. It's a little hard to understand. But in a certain sense, why are we having this whole big meal? Why is this big meal coming up? Because of Shabbos. So what do we want to do? We want to first proclaim Shabbos. And this whole big meal we're having is like, if you will, my words. Tosfos doesn't say it this way, but I'm saying it this way. It's like behind the curtains. It's behind. You ever go to a theater? About a play or something? So before the play starts, what do you have in the front? Everything's covered up. Everything's curtained. And then the play opens up, they open up the curtains. It's like a little drama. So Kiddush first. And the whole reason the whole suit is here, including the pas, is because of Kiddush. So now we open up the curtains. We open up everything. It's what's called, the Rishon call that Yikara de Shabbata. It shows the value, the appreciation, the specialness of Shabbos. Things that are really, really special, that are very chashuv, what do we do with them? Prolonged. We flaunt them or we cover them up? Or we cover them up. Things that are very holy, we flaunt or we cover up. Sefer Torah, how often do we take it out of Sefer Torah? Only when absolutely necessary. We cover it up. We conceal it. Things that are being sneistic. The body, the human goof, is very holy. We cover it up. So here, when it comes to everything is concealed, we make the Kiddush, now we can go ahead. Yikara de Shabbata, now we can go to reveal. So these are the three reasons that are cited by the tour why we go ahead and cover the challah. Are there any nafka mina lahalacha between these three reasons? So if I had a board with a marker, I would chart this out for you. I have a marker. Let's try this. Let's see if this works. I bet the marker's not going to work. I knew it. Okay, we'll do that. But pretend. So we're going to have three reasons. We're going to put up three reasons. Reason number one is Hilchos Brachos Yerushalmi. Reason number two is Zecher Laman. Reason number three is Yikara de Shabbata. Okay? Those are three reasons. So I have a simple question. Do you have to cover the challah at Shalashitz?
No.
If anyone says no or yes to any question I ask, I will excoriate. The answer correct is Yitzi, is it depends. If you learn like the Yerushalmi that it's a function of Hilchos Brachos, is there any Kiddush? There's no Kiddush. If there's no Kiddush, there's no reason to cover up the challah. There's no reason to have Yikara de Shabbat either, because we're not making Kiddush, not hot. But if the issue is Zecher Laman, and that's one of the reasons why we're having challah at Shalosh Shud, is Zecher Laman, should you cover up the challah? Yes, indeed. So that's nafkamina number one. Do you have to cover the challah at Shalosh Shud? Nafkamina number two. Well, do you have to have a covering underneath the challah? So if you go Zecher Laman, yes. The other reasons, no. Good nafkamina. Okay, how about this one? When do you uncover the challah? So if you go to Yerushalmi, when can you uncover the challah?
After you wash your hands.
Why do you have to wait till you wash your hands? After Kiddush. Once you make the Baruch Hagefen, you can already do what? No longer Hilchos Brachos issue. You can now go ahead and uncover the challah. But if you hold Zecher Laman, L'chora, the Zecher Laman is the Birchas HaMotzi. So the challah should be covered still when you're making the Birchas HaMotzi. That's a good nafkmina. But what about the following? You're at a Kiddush in Shul on Shabbos day. You're making Kiddush. There's no bread. But there's a lot of cake. There's herring with crackers. Do you have to cover the cake and the crackers? It depends. Excellent answer. If you hold like what? Like the Yerushalmi Hilchos Brachos, Hamaga, Hamoitzi Mezainas, that has to be covered. If you hold Zechalaman, what's the Zechalaman? That's the pas. If you hold Yikor the Shabbat, maybe yes, maybe yes. Ooh, what about the herring itself? Do you have to cover the herring? If you hold Yerushalmi, nope. If you hold Zechalaman, nope. But if you hold Yikar de Shabbata, ooh, I don't have herring all week long, I'm doing it to cover Shabbos, because the kiddush I'm having the smack of herring, then you'd have to cover the shahakos as well. Everything has to be covered. It's a lot of nafkaminas. Which reason you go with? So, how do we paskin? I'll tell you how we paskin. I don't know how we paskin. I asked Rav Yonasan Sack Shlita approximately 29 years ago, how we passed him. And he says, there's no hachra'a lahalacha. There's no psak. These are all valid reasons quoted in the Torah. They're all legit reasons. So how do we paskin? You should choose a shita. Choose one shita and go with it consistently la'orach kol haderech. So which shita is the easiest one to choose? Yikar l'shabbat is not the easiest one to choose, because then you got to cover up the herring. Yishalom is not the easiest one to choose, because there's the easy one to choose. Zechlamon is that whenever there is bread on the table, including shal shudis, cover the bread. Have also a bottom cutting board. Do it also by shal shudis. That's going to be the easiest shita to go with. In my shul, when they have kiddush, do they cover up the mezainis? They do. They cover up the mezainis because the Yishami is definitely a rooted shita as well, and that is something to be aware of.
Yeah! When you cover the Shabbat, it's not only the bread you're covering, you're also covering...
Covering l'chora, everything that's there, l'chvot Shabbos. Yeah. What? Yeah? Okay.
You used the language of a mapa achera back in the beginning.
What I said?
You're reading the halacha that you need to have like a separate cloth.
A separate cloth.
My family, we have the cloth that's big enough to cover the two halacha, put that on the top and on the bottom. And put that on the
I think that's totally legit. If you have,
a bag?
Ooh, that's interesting, nafkamina. What about a transparent bag? Use a transparent bag as your covering?
It's the first.
So if you hold Zechalaman, look over here. Yeah, doesn't who said Tal is transparent? Tal is a liquid. Tal is transparent. But if you go with what? Shalot at Pas Bosto, that it's not here, Lechora, transparent bag will not protect you. Query whether Yikar de Shabbat. Okay, very good. Let's go Vayter and Shas. Now, okay, so we have the Challah. We covered up the Challah. We're going to wash. We're going to make Kish. We're going to wash. Now we're going to cut the challah. Let's just talk about cutting the challah for a second. You need lechem mishnah, yes? How do we know you need lechem mishnah? How do you know you need lechem mishnah? So can I learn with you a gemara? But the gemara is a little complicated. Concentrate while I learn a gemara with you. It's like 5, it's 6 o'clock at night. Oh, Jacob, you make me so depressed. So sad looking at you. Sad and inspired at the same time. Can you handle a Gemara? Please? Pretty please?
Sure.
Yes? I need a yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do it.
Yes.
Moshe Dave?
Yes.
I remember your name. Just playing shtick. I even remember your last name. Shankov. Okay. There's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that addresses the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. We got to learn this Gemara very, very carefully. The Gemara is going to be found on Wadaf. Yeah, let's go Kuf Yud Zayin at base. Okay. Listen carefully. If I had a board, I would put it on the board. Listen carefully. Amar of Abba. Who's speaking? Of Abba. B'Shabbos Chayev Adam Livtsoa Al Shtei Kikaros. On Shabbos, a person has to Livtsoa. What does that mean?
Cover?
Nah. Livtsoa Al Shtei Kikaros.
Satisfied?
Really? Not Livtsoa. Livtsoa. The way I always translate that term, I always thought, that's what they always taught me, is you have to break, b'tzias hapas, break two loaves. That's what I thought it meant. Amar Rabbi Abba, chayv adam livtsoa al shtei kikaros, tiksiv lechem mishnah. Because how much man fell on Erev Shabbos Kodesh?
Double
portion. So the zecher to the lechem mishnah fell on Friday, we have to livtsoa. What does livtsoa mean? To break on two loaves. Now Rashi here says something interesting. Rashi says, you know what livtsoa means? Birchas hamotzi. Which means, not that you have to break both breads, but you have to
bless
on both breads. You make the bracha on two loaves. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi comes along and he says, Chazina leila Rav Kahana. I saw Rav Kahana dinokat tarti. He took two loaves. Ubotza chada. And how many was he botzea? One. What does botza mean over here for sure? He broke. He took two and he broke one. What did Litzah mean in the first memra? According to Rashi?
Bless.
According to the Rashba, broke. So, stay with me. What did Rav Abba do? Rav Abba was Livtsoa al Shtei Kikaros. And then Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana, Denok Atarti Ubotza Chada. Is there a machlokas over here? Be careful. According to Rashi, it says, Livtsoa means to bless. So then, this is just a Maisa Shahaya. Rav Abba says, you need to bless on two, implying how many do you break? One. And Rav Kahana, what did he do? He took two and he broke one. So that's just the Maisa Shehoya. But according to the Rajba, what's going on over here is there's a machlekes. First Manda Omer says you have to break two. Second Manda Omer says you have to
break one.
You have to break one. After all, what does the Torah say? Does the Torah say you have to break two? It doesn't say you have to break two. It says, v'lok tu lechem mishnah. What do they do on Erev Shabbos Kodesh when they collected the man? They gathered lechem mishnah on Friday. So they didn't break it. They just brought it in. And then it says, Rav Zeira, third man to Amar over here, third mamra, Rav Zeira have a botza akula sherusa. What does botza akula sherusa mean? I don't know what that means. Rashi says, botza akula sherusa, when he would slice the bread, he would slice a big fat chunk, prusa gadola, that would last for the entire meal, to be generous because of chibuv ha-mitzvah. And what would he do? This is what Rashi says. He would go botza akula sherusa. Ravina says, really? Botza akula sherusa v'ha-mechzikar avsanusa. If you do that, you look like a, what's Rav Sanusa mean? A glutton, taking these large chunks. So Gemara says, since he only does that on Friday night, Shabbos day, he doesn't do it all week long, he just does it for Shabbos, so lo mechzi kerav sanusa. So let's just chal, I'm going to learn the Gemara according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the first mandam, Rabbi Abba says, what does he do? He blesses on two slices. Blesses on both. Rav Kahana did what? He took two, blessed and broke one. So that's a Maisa Shaya Saint Shita. And what did Rav Zeira do? Nothing to do with anything. Another halacha. Rav Zeira cut big chunks as a sign of Chibur HaMitzvah. That's how Rashi learns. Says the Rashba, it's not what's going on over here. Rashba learns like this. According to the Rashba, what did Rabbi Abba say you have to do? He was Botza Atarte. Livtsoa al Shtei Kikaros means he broke both breads. Rav Kahana came along. Rav Ashi reported Rav Kahana used to take two and break One. So the machlekes. Do you have to break both, or do you only break one? And now Rav Zeira says, Rav the Rajba is hakosav hashlishi hamachriya beinayim, butza akula sherusa. He broke all of the loaves. He broke all of the loaves. Has two loaves. How many did he break? Rav Zeira is passing the first man to Amar like Rabbi Abba. That's two ways of learning the Gemara. So according to Rashi, Lecha Mishnah demands what? Lecha Mishnah demands having to. And breaking, whatever you want. Breaking one, it's fine. The Rashba says, Lecha Mishnah demands breaking both, or I would even say breaking all. If you have a big, you have a lot of chalas, akula sherusa, breaking all. Lecha Mishnah demands, or at least breaking two. That's the position of the Rashba. Comes with the Torah Tamima on Chumash, in Parsha B'Shalach. The luck to Lecha Mishnah, he points out, Chazal tell us, how many portions of man fell on Friday? Two. How many portions fell in the regular week? One. On a regular week, one portion fell, with how many meals in it?
Three.
Three? Two. Two meals. It was two portions. One blob of man fell that served two meals. I mean, this whole business, three meals. Three meals is modern phenomenon. No one eats two, three. You know, Americans eat three meals. That's a chiddush of this generation. But actually, Americans eat 12 meals. But they used to eat two meals. You eat one meal at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the morning, and then another meal at 6, 7 o'clock, and Shalom Yisrael. Today, we eat, if you're going to diet, you're supposed to eat like six small meals a day. That's a diet. Okay, whatever. Not to digress. So two portions of man fell on Friday. Each portion has how many meals in it? Each portion has two. So for a total of four. One portion they would eat Friday morning. That was the Friday meal. They had one meal for Friday. How many left for Shabbos Kodesh?
Three
meals. That's the source for three sudos. Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon. Good. So you have three meals left. How many of those challahs were broken? So Lech Ora says the Torah Tmimah, there's a raya for Rashi. Because if you broke two on Friday night, so how many would you have left shalom for Shabbos morning? You'd only have one left shalom for Shabbos morning. But we know you need Lecha Mishnah for Shabbos morning as well. So he says, it must be, Rashi's correct, you take two and you break one. So you break one Friday night, how many do you have left? Two. Shabbos morning, you take two, you break one. How many do you have left for Shabbos Shudas? One. Araya, then how much do you need Lecha Mishnah for Shabbos Shudas? Just like you don't have Kiddush for Shabbos Shudas, you don't need Lecha Mishnah for Shabbos Shudas as well. That's the Pesach of the Ramah. The Ramah says, Lechatchila, we try and have two, but you do not need two lechamim for Shalosh Shudas. That's the Pesach of the Ramah. That's based on the Cheshbon of the Torah Tamimah. I didn't call on you. Not so fast. There's a very, very... watch this. Okay, so watch this. So we'll come back to that in a second. Shalosh Shudas will come back to in a second. But let's talk. Okay, so you have two loaves. How do we pass? We did the Rashi, we did the Rashba. According to Rashi, how many do you have to break? One. According to Rashi, how many do you have to break?
Two.
Machlek is Rashi and Rashba. How do you think we paskin?
Rashi.
Like Rashi. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Mechaber Reish Ayin Dalet Halacha Aleph. Botzea al shtei kikarot shlemot. What does Botzea mean? You and I don't know. Machlek is Rashi and Rashba. What does that mean? So he explains. She'ochez. You take shtei em biyado, two loaves in your hand, ubotzeya hatachtona. And which one do you break? You break the bottom one. So what does it sound like? How many are you breaking?
One.
This is Rashi. And then the Ramah adds, v'dafka b'leil Shabbos. Aval b'yom Shabbos, o b'leil yom tov botzeya al ha'el yona. On Friday night, which challah do you cut? You stack the challahs one on top of the other. Which one do you cut? The bottom one. And on Leil Yontif, which one do you cut? Top one. On Shabbos day, which one do you cut? Top one. And there are more, and what's the reason for this? Why do we cut the top one Shabbos day, the bottom one Shabbos night, Friday night? So Ramos says, V'atam al derech ha-kabbalah. The reason is for Kabbalistic reasons. So I don't learn Kabbalah. I don't learn Kabbalah. But I was curious. So I opened up a Sefer Halacha that quotes, what is the Kabbalah over here? What's the secret? What's the site? So I opened up a Sefer Halacha that quotes the Kabbalah. So I don't know what the Kabbalah says, I know what the Sefer Halacha says that the Kabbalah says. So what's the Kabbalah? It goes like this. Friday night. Does Shabbos have a masculine quality to it or a feminine quality to it?
Friday night.
Friday night is feminine. Give me a ride that's feminine. What? Oh, in davening, in the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, what do we say? V'yanuchu v'h. It is a feminine expression. We refer to Shabbos as v'h. We say lechadod, you refer to Shabbos as likras, Shabbos, hamalka, kala. Friday night Shabbos is feminine. What does it mean, feminine? We Klal Yisrael, go out, likras HaShabbos, bring her in, she's feminine. So in, is what the Sfarim say, but in the Maisabia, man and wife, husband and wife, the woman is the bottom, and therefore the challah are one on top of the other, with we cut the bottom challah, reflecting the feminine aspect. As Shabbos continues, Shabbos starts to exert her influence on Klal Yisrael. And now, all of a sudden, instead of us being Makabel Shabbos, Shabbos is now the Mashpia, and we become the Mushpa'im. So Shabbos now reverses and becomes a masculine quality, and we become the Makablim, so to speak. If that's the case, what's the bracha in Makadesh HaShabbos of? V'yanuchu vo. Now it's already, Shabbos is called masculine, and which challah do we cut? We cut the top challah. Cut the top chal, representing the masculine. Shabbos is now masculine. Now we get to Shal Shudas time. And we just said, according to the Ramah Me'ikra Din, do you need two chalas?
No.
You don't need two chalas. Because now the Shabbos, Shechina, Klal Yisrael, masculine, feminine, have become a total unity. What's the tefillah that we say? Shabbos afternoon, Mincha time, Ata Echad. The Shimcha Echad. Umika Amcha Goy Echad. But Aretz, it's a time of Echad. A time of oneness. The Brach is V'yanuchu Vam, a total union. And therefore, it's sufficient to go ahead and use only one challah at Shalosh Shudas time. That's the climactic time of Shabbos. As we've been now under the influence of Shabbos the entire day, now there's a total union, Shalosh Shudas time, between Shabbos and Knesset Yisrael. That's one challah suffices. Okay, so that's the Kabbalistic idea. But interesting, there's also a halachic idea. Because the Taz is bothered a little bit. Which challah are we cutting Friday night? Bottom challah. Which challah are you closest to? The top. The top is near you. The bottom one is... So, Gemara in Maseches Megillah Davav, we have a halach of Ein Ma'avir in Al HaMitzvah. So you're not allowed to pass over a mitzvah. So you know what the Taz says? What you should do is stack one on top of the other. Stack one on top of the other. But you should shift the top challah a little further away, the bottom challah a little closer. So therefore, Friday night, which one are you cutting? The bottom one, which is closer, and there's no problem of Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvah. That is all quoted, La Halacha in Simin Reish Ayin Dalid Halacha Halacha Alef. You've seen a minute people do of putting like a little nick in the challah before an ahmotzi. They make a little cut. What's that all about? So we're about to make a bracha of hamotzi lachem min haaretz. And now you're going to start slicing challahs. Now you're going to start cutting the challahs. That's going to create a hefsek between the bracha and the achila. So what do? We try, again, it's more symbolic than anything else, we try and do a little act, a little nick in the challah. Why not a big nick? Why not, like, cut halfway through? Because the halacha, lecha mishnah, has to be shalim. You need a shalim. If you're going to cut all the way through, then you lost your shlemus. You need a lecha mishnah to be whole. So you make a little nick, a symbolic nick, to go ahead and identify, okay, this is where I'm going to be cutting from. You cut a little nick before, you make the bracha, and then boom, you start to cut. When you give out the challah, ideally, what are you doing first? How are you doing it? The Seder Advarim is the Baal HaBayis, who's, let's say, cutting challah on behalf of everyone else. He should cut one slice, take his own, then start cutting the rest. Why would he want to do that? Why not just cut and give out? Because when it comes to Lecha Mishnah, typically in a typical home, there's not everyone has their own Lecha Mishnah. The Baal HaBayis has Lecha Mishnah, and then he's dishing out to everyone else. If he has Lecha Mishnah, he's dishing out to everyone else. So he's making the Birchas HaNenin of HaMotzi Lecha Min HaAretz, and he's being Motzi everyone else. When you're being Motzi someone else, you should be partaking first. First you partake, then you give out. So a good practice is to take, have your piece, and then dish out. There's a practice that we have, a minhag of dipping into salt. Where does that come from?
From Lot's wife.
Lot's wife? Really? I didn't know that. Lot's wife? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. What? Can I share with you a nice Dvar Torah? Nice quick Dvar Torah. Can I have a Chumash Vayikra? Chumash Vayikra. I don't need no Rashi, no nothing. Just a Vayikra. It must be a Chumash. A Tanakh, beautiful. Tanakh works. So there's a in Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra, we learn all about the Karbonos. I shared this vort during COVID. It's a good COVID vort. So the Torah tells us that when you bring menachos, you're not allowed to bring menachos with dvash. No dvash. Ah, it says like this. No dvash, but yes, salt. Vekitikrav. When you bring a mincha, kol mincha shetchul Hashem lo teaseh chametz, no chametz. Kikol saor v'chol dvash lo tatiru. No chametz, no dvash. Rather, kol korban mincha secha bamelach timlach. V'lo tashbis melach bris elokecha me'al mincha secha. You cannot tashbis, withhold, melach from your korban mincha. So very striking. Melach, yes. Dvash, no. What's the pshat? Why no dvash? I love dvash. I love dvash. Why yes, melach, no dvash in a korban mincha? So perhaps the answer is as follows. What does dvash do? Dvash is a very strong flavor. Very strong. It sweetens. Gevaldik. What does salt do?
Enhances the flavor.
Enhances. Why? How? How does it work? So when you want to go ahead and salt meat, let's say, there's blood in the meat. How do you get rid of the blood? You salt it. What does the salt do? It's not just absorbs moisture. It's an extractor. It takes that which is inside and draws it out. Anyone who watches any cooking show whatsoever, when you're cooking meat, what's the first thing you do?
Salt.
You salt it. Why do they say salt the meat?
Extract the juices.
To extract the inherent natural flavors of the basa. You see, what dvash does is dvash masks the flavor. It's such a powerful sweetener, it actually masks the essence of the thing. And what salt does is it takes the essence and it brings it out. So says the Torah, when it comes to your karbanos, mincha, salt them. Don't mask their essence. Draw out their essence. And therefore, every carbon mincha, every carbon has to be with salt to draw out its essence. That's called the bris melach. Chazal tell us, a shulchan is dome le mizbeach. And just like a mizbeach, the karbonos are accompanied by salt to draw the essence, so too our shulchan should be dome le mizbeach, and we have salt with our pas. And that's why, that's true by any meal. Also, the old days, the bread was much coarser, so we added a little flavor to the bread. But this is called the bris melach. I say this is a COVID vart, because most of our, imagine, anyone been to, have you ever been to a COVID wedding? I was zeicha to make a COVID wedding. It was like, Israel was a little mishukhana. I was at one wedding during COVID, where like they announced where you're allowed to, gatherings of 50 you're allowed, but next week gatherings of 10. So there was a guy who was getting marrying off a daughter. He said, we got to get her married this week, or else we can't have a wedding. So we can have a wedding of 50. So that was a chuppas nida, because to just do a wedding on a snap of a finger, the girl, the daughter, the kala was a nida. You got to plan for a wedding. You just but they couldn't. They could. So you make a COVID wedding. When you make a COVID wedding, you only have 50 people, 100 people. Who gets invited to the wedding?
Close family.
Only closest family and friends. You can't have any. You don't. Everyone has an A list, a B list, a C list. Anyone who's made a simcha, you have A list, B list, C list. When you do a COVID wedding, you can only have your A list people. Only the people that really are essential to the wedding. And then we, Yisha Rebo. He makes a niggin about the. But what's the message? I'll tell you what the message is. This is what. The message is that when we live life, we should live life with focusing on the essentials. Things that are really important. Not mask everything with a fancy schmork and a fancy this and a fancy that. That's all window dressing. What really matters is the chas and kala getting married. So you have a wedding, 50 people, 80 people. That's what we lose sight of the ikkar sometimes. We got to have these lavish, big, $100,000 affairs. We lose sight of the ikkar. But the reason we have salt at a suda is not, and it's any suda. It's not just suda Shabbos, because a shulchan is done on the mizbeach. It's a karbon. There's a bris melach, and therefore we dip the pas in salt. In any event, that's a little bit on the topic of bitsias apas, lechem mishnah. Now that we're done with lechem mishnah and we're done for the day, is what's next? What's the next topic? Suda Shabbos. We have to discuss Suda Shabbos. How many meals do we have?
Three.
There's a fascinating chiddush of Rav Chibka. You know how many meals Rav Chibka had on Shabbos? Four is correct. Machlekes, whether three or four meals, is there a mitzvah Suda on Yontif, Shabbos? How many meals? How do we... Shalashuddis. Do you have to have bread at Shalashuddis? Maybe we can be Yaitse with Mezainis. Not Mezainis. So Mitzvah Shem will pick up Sudot Shabbat, Onik Shabbos, Mitzvah Shem tonight.